From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The film Dear Frankie explores the lies parents tell their children to protect them. Frankie is a 9-year-old deaf boy, desperate to communicate with his absent father, and unaware that his mother is hiding out from his dad because the man was abusive. Frankie's mother instead tells her son that his father is sailing the globe on a ship called the Accra, and she encourages Frankie to write letters to his dad.
He's been writing them for a few years now. He's a lovely wee writer. He sends them to a post office box here in Glasgow, and I collect them twice a month, and then I write back.
So Frankie charts his father's travels in letters, and Lizzie maintains the deception. But one day, a real ship called the Accra comes to Glasgow, and Frankie is desperate to finally see his dad. Lizzie decides to hire a stranger to play the role for just one day, but the two develop a bond she did not anticipate.
We had an arrangement. You broke it.
One more day, that's all.
No. I want you to go now. It's over. Do you hear me? It's over.
My ship sails on Monday. There is only one more day.
Who the hell do you think you are? Who gave you the right to come in here and behave like this?
You did.
Frankie's mother is played by the British actress Emily Mortimer. She's the 33-year-old daughter of the famous writer John Mortimer, author of Rumpole of the Bailey. She's played it girls, neurotics, and gun-toting vixens in films such as Lovely and Amazing, Notting Hill, and Formula 51. Playing a mother, she says, made her nervous. She had no experience with motherhood, though she was pregnant when the film was shot.
I think we can imagine a lot of things without having done them. Like, one can imagine what it might be like to rob a bank or to take lots of drugs or to even on a bad day to kill someone or something. But that relationship between a mother and their child is so specific and so like unlike any other that it's incredibly hard to sort of put your head in that place. But it's interesting, there are some things that I would have changed actually now in retrospect, now that I've had my little boy. For example, there's a moment where I'm sitting on the bed with Frankie and I'm explaining to him that his real life father has in fact died, and showing him a piece in the newspaper with the news that his father is dead in it. And I made a very firm decision to not milk that moment and not make it a big sort of hoo-ha. And we sat there quietly on the bed and the camera rotated round us, and it was just this quiet sort of peaceful moment. And I watched the film for the first time after my little boy had been born, and it was I had this immediate sense that had I had him when I shot that film, I would, there is no way I wouldn't have thrown my arms around that little boy and squeezed him till the pips came out of him at that moment, you know, and I just had no idea before I had my little boy.
It's been reported, Emily, that you yourself discovered that you had a family member, a brother, that you didn't know about in childhood, someone who was a product of your father's relationship with an actress. And having gone through that discovery and realizing that you yourself lived in a family that at some point nourished a secret to protect certain members of that family, I'm wondering, as you watch the film now and review it, if you see it with a different eye.
Yes, I think I do. I think it has an amazing resonance now that it didn't necessarily have before. I discovered this brother, Ross, and my other brothers and sisters did too. And we have all fallen madly in love with him. I think there are many of us who have had similar situations where, you know, secrets have been kept in the assumption that it's better for the truth not to come out. And then when finally it does, you sort of wonder why all that secrecy and, you know, the secrets and lies that were told were necessary, because it's such an amazing relief to everybody concerned.
It seems, as an actress, that you're often straddling two worlds. You've worked in television, now in film. You've actually worked on the stage also. You've worked in Europe and America. You've worked on smaller independent films as well as sort of larger commercial films. And I'm wondering if the more you work, the more you feel you have to stretch in some way to keep a foot in both those worlds, or all those worlds.
I don't think so. I feel like it's a conscious decision I've made, I think, to keep doing different things and to keep doing surprising things. And I think that's definitely something to do with my background. You know, I come from this privileged middle-class world where I was on a kind of trajectory of schools and universities that was quite predictable in a way, and it's possible coming from a background like mine to feel very defined by your parents and where you've come from, where you've lived, where you've gone to school. And I think what's wonderful and liberating for me as an actress is that I can flout expectations in a way, and I think that's what I keep striving for, and that's my sort of impetus.
Are you always aware of that? That some in the film industry may try to put you in a particular box. That, you know, she's good in this role, or she's British, so she's great in period films. So do you choose roles with that in mind? Purposely, you know, decide to make a film like Formula 51, where you're hanging from the side of a building and with a helicopter hovering above, just to show them that you can flex a different kind of muscle.
Yes, I think so. I think I always find people in life and characters in scripts interesting when they're not, you know, they don't have a set of sort of domino opinions, or, you know, there are certain people that you meet and if you know they're a vegetarian, you know everything else about them. But there are some people you meet who are a vegetarian who also might vote for Bush and I don't know what else, have a lot of different elements to them, surprise you, and those are the people that are interesting, and I think that those are the characters that are interesting. And although I was joking with Steve Martin, you know, I did this movie The Pink Panther, which is coming out sometime this year, and I'd done quite a lot of risque, sort of edgy, in inverted commas, indie movies, in some of which I'd appeared naked or with custard all over me, or both. And I thought it would be kind of clever to mix it up a bit and do this big Hollywood safe comedy, you know. And it wasn't till about halfway through the movie I realized that in practically every scene I end up with my legs wrapped around Steve Martin's face. And it's, in fact, incredibly outrageous.
But with your clothes on at
that
point.
But with my clothes on, yeah. So my attempt to sort of flout expectations in that instance didn't really work. Sort of backfired.
We're glad you came in to talk to us today. It's been wonderful speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've loved it.
The actress Emily Mortimer. She stars in the film Dear Frankie.